AM 790 Talk and Business presents Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next water fire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
And good afternoon and welcome to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island, the newest one-hour talk show and entertainment program on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And every Wednesday, we are here with you behind the scenes, bringing you there behind the scenes to Water Fire and introducing you to some of not only our sponsors, but our community partners. And I am here with my incredible co-host and creative and artistic director of Water Fire, Barnaby Evans. Hello, Barnaby.
Well, hello, Ramo. I'm delighted to be here for another Wednesday.
I know. You know what? It stopped raining. Thank God. There was a deluge this morning. I felt like I woke up in a car wash for some reason. But, yeah, what a great water fire last weekend, huh?
Oh, it was really remarkable, and we'll return to that in the second half. But it was Bastille Day, and it was such a beautiful event. You know, we'll ask our guest here what he heard on the street. But people were, the city was full of joy and happiness and people wandering around. Wonderful night.
Yeah, well, you know, and our guest here is somebody that we absolutely adore. We've got an exciting show today, everybody. We're going to be giving you an exciting preview to a very special, special water fire event happening on August 9th. So not this next fire, but the following fire. So Saturday, August 9th, and we're celebrating a huge milestone for our men in blue, as they say, and Providence finest. And so here joining us is our very own, I'm going to try to say this right, you ready? Colonel Hugh Clements, Chief of the Providence Police.
Wow, you got it exactly right.
I had it reversed at first because I was like, what do you say first? Chief, Colonel, how does that all work?
Either way, I'm good.
So we're so excited to have you here.
It really is a pleasure to be here, Bronwyn and Barnaby, to be in your company. I'm in your company a lot. I really enjoy the water fire event downtown, but I've never been on this show, so this is new to me. But I need to say it, your organizers do such an incredible job at this event in downtown Providence, and it's so important for the city, every entity of the city, including the police department, and we're very much a part of what goes on down at Water Fire every other Saturday and every year after year, but you're really doing an incredible job.
Thank you so much.
So when we had to pick signature event for the commemoration of our 150th anniversary, it became a no-brainer.
So that's the big milestone, everybody. 150 years of the Providence Police. That's what we're celebrating this year, and we kick it off in August, right?
Correct.
Right, and, you know, before we even go into that, I really want to commend you and the entire Providence Police Department. You were recently, only just last week, wasn't it, or maybe 2 weeks ago, you received a huge award. Can you explain a little bit about that?
We did. 2 weeks ago, we actually filled out an application probably 8 months ago, and it was no easy doing. It was a 28-page application to apply for the New England Association Chiefs of Police Community Policing Award for New England. We filled out the application. When I first saw the application, I immediately knew we would be one of the forerunners, and in fact, we were notified that we won for 2013, and members of that executive board came down 2 weeks ago and formally presented the award to us. And it really is important for what we do day in and day out in the community. We are the capital city of Rhode Island. We are the second biggest police department in New England, and we feel like what we do on the street day in and day out is so integral to the movement of the state of Rhode Island and the city of Providence, and we're proud of the award.
Oh, you should be terribly proud of the award. Could you take a moment to talk about what community policing is as a concept? Because I think the Providence Police Department has been leading in this for some time. And it's, first of all, congratulations on the award. I actually was in Boston at the Bastille Day celebrations at the consulate there, and someone came up to me and said, you're from Providence, and talked about you getting the award.
So, oh, thank you. Yes, it really is a comprehensive and holistic approach to security and safety and policing in the community. It's not just about responding to the radio calls and the 911 calls. It's a short-term approach as well as a long-term approach. It's a reactive approach as well as a proactive approach. And it focuses on not only enforcement, but preventative type measures. And we work with so many partners in the community, not only law enforcement. Obviously, we deal with all of our law enforcement partners, surrounding municipalities, our state police partners, our federal partners, DEA, ATF, U.S. Attorney's Office, Attorney General's Office. I mean, there's so many to focus on. But as well, we have so many nonprofit and private partners. And every single Tuesday, we meet as an organization. We have a staff meeting. And at those staff meetings, not only do we have the division commanders from the respective patrol districts and the commanding officers who run the respective narcotics, detectives, Youth Service Bureau units, we also have our private partners. So we are truly a community policing model police department in that we are decentralized. So we have taken for a number of years, as you've identified, Barnaby, we've taken the police department to the community. So in essence, I am the colonel chief of police, but we're broken down now into five districts. And each district is manned by a lieutenant who is a commander of that district. So he is, in essence, the mini police chief in that district downtown.
Yeah. You've got some great people in those positions, too, and I know several of them.
For years, Lieutenant Mike Figueredo was your mini police chief, district commander, and now you have Lieutenant O'Hara, and prior to that you had Timmy Lee. Yeah. And we really do have good people, and they're committed. They're very engaged in every activity in their respective district in the city. And on weekends, nights, daytime, when there's an event in their respective district, you'll see the district commander or their sergeants or some of their people at these events. And it's important for us to maintain that solid connection with the community because that's what it's all about. We are a big part of the community, and everything we do focuses on the needs of the community.
It's a very proactive, constructive partnership of trying to figure out how to make it work.
Well, it was interesting because when I first met with you, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Barnaby, one of the things that I found fascinating, because I thought we were just going, last year you and I met, and you told me about the 150th, and then we said, oh, water fire, and we'll start planning. But when I went and sat with you in your office, and you were explaining, again, some of this community outreach, and you've got programs where you're walking kids from the school bus home and keeping them safe. Can you explain a little bit more about some of these programs that you're doing that do touch people, like, individually?
Yeah, it's so important for us to be involved in these unique community events. And that was a program started by Family Services of Rhode Island. And there was a girl there that really did some research about the absenteeism and tardiness of young boys and girls in the community, and they found that many of their single-parent families had a hard time getting their young boys and girls to school, and they felt for their safety walking to school alone long distances. Therefore, they just wouldn't send them to school. So they developed this walking school bus initiative, and many leaders in the community, political community leaders stepped forward in as well. We did, the Providence Police and the Providence Fire Department, but we routinely partake in this walking school bus initiative, and it's another way for us to connect with the young boys and girls and young men and women in the community. And that's only one. I mean, we had a really fascinating initiative that we've done several times in the Providence housing developments, and it's called the Youth Police Initiative, where we would take up to a dozen police officers to engage in a 3 or 4 week program with young boys and later girls in the community, and they would engage in this session. And these were at-risk youth who had been touched up either in school or with the law, and they didn't generally know the police, therefore they didn't generally take a real liking to the police in the beginning, but by the end of the program, there was such a bond. And the first graduation I went to for that event, all the young men were dressed in suit and tie and looking like they were straight out of freshman year of Harvard. Yeah. And I'll tell you, that first graduation, 10 of the 12 boys who had an opportunity to go to the microphone after receiving their diploma said that their goal in life was to be like their mentor. They wanted to be a Providence police officer.
Yeah.
And that was really fascinating. And it is just one indication and one example of how we mentor young men and women in the community. And that was pretty good.
Yeah, and, you know, I know also, and we're going to be taking a break in just a minute or so, but that leads me right into something that you're doing, which, again, when I talked to you, blew my mind. You're creating a foundation. There's going to be a Providence Police Foundation so that you can actually do more in the community.
Yes, I've thought about this for a while, and I think there's another layer that we can go to to further connect us with the community and give back to the community. So I'm looking to start a foundation, a 501c3. That may take us some while to make it a 501c3, but initially we'll be looking for donations from large corporations and people in the community for us to give back to the community with the name of the Providence Police on it, whether it be Little League Baseball in Silver Lake.
Hold that thought, because I want to hear more about that, because that is just awesome. Thank you, Colonel Clemens. Hello, 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 and welcome back. And you are listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island. I'm Bronwyn Dannenfelter, and I am here with Barnaby Evans and Colonel Hugh Clemens, the Chief of Police of Providence. And we've just been talking about, one, all of the incredible work that you are doing here. And we're very grateful, even at Water Fire, for everything that you do with us. But even your further reach out into the community and the new foundation that you're starting and your proactive movement with everybody in the community. So, again, thank you. And then we're going to move on pretty soon to talk about, I'd love to hear a little bit maybe about what you see behind the scenes, you know, as working in Providence with all, we're known as one of the arts capitals or the creative capital. How is it for you? And, you know, there's a lot of festivals always going on.
There really are, and we meet weekly as a command staff, but besides that, we probably have, 50 meetings a week. There's certain supervisors on the police department will get involved with, and you know very well Major Verdi and Sergeant Martinez. They're very engaged with every step of the way, the major events downtown, including Water Fire. That's a huge event. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes for the safety and security for the tens of thousands of people who attend these events. I mean, we'll have a 50,000-person event downtown where we won't even have a car window broken into. And then, unfortunately, we are a city, and we could have a shooting later on at night, and oftentimes the media will pick up on that, a shooting in Providence. But we have, and we really painstakingly put a lot of effort into safety and security downtown, and I think our teams work very well together over the years, and we've done a fabulous job.
Colonel, you have a sense of just how much work there is behind the scene for Water Fire, too. Our crews are out there around the clock trying to make it work. But there is a mood at Water Fire where people are so well-behaved. Two stories I remember. One is the FOP had their big national convention here in Providence.
2003.
And those officers came from all over the United States, and they were so impressed with Providence and wandering on Water Fire and said, you know, I'm a police officer. I don't like crowds, but it really feels comfortable here. And the other thing I remember is one of your officers coming up to us early on in Water Fire, and he was in his dress whites, and he said, I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be seeing the public in these circumstances. We're usually there when there's a problem. And it's just so great to be able to talk to people and see everyone smiling and for them to see how safe downtown Providence is and how beautiful it looks in the middle of Water Fire and everyone just wandering around. And I'm here to, you know, tell them which street is where and things like that.
It's true. I mean, when I was in patrol in uniform, and I would work that event in that detail often, and people from all over the state, not only Providence, all over the state, all over New England, and it's becoming an international event, and people adore Water Fire, and it's of great value to the police department because it really allows us to put a different cap on and to deal with the public in a different way. It's a great event.
And it's also a great value to the city in that I think, thanks to your efforts, the city is safe. And I would encourage people to come down to visit the restaurants and the theaters. And the media always finds something to lead with. but I find the city of Providence to be a very safe and wonderful and welcoming place for people to come on any night, Waterfire nights, all the rest of the time. And it's a lot of it's the work that you guys have been doing.
It truly is. I mean, it is a capital city, and our statistics bear that out. The crime numbers downtown are pretty remarkable, and for years...
Remarkably low, as I remember.
Yeah. And for years, we've had great success on Waterfire nights downtown, and we'll continue to do that.
So, again, I think that we're going to have to talk about that 150th celebration
coming
down.
Yeah, so what are we doing August 9th? I think Brahman's eager to tell us.
Oh, I am. Well, we've been working hard on this. Well, one, thank you so much to our friends at National Grid because they sponsored the entire lighting for that night. But they really wanted to do it. One of their biggest questions was, are you doing something with the Providence Police to celebrate their 150th anniversary? And I said, well, of course we are. And we were still trying to figure out what we were going to do. But for the first time in over a year, the ballroom will be opened back up in a celebratory manner and a huge, big old birthday bash for Providence's finest at 150. So let's get back to this, Hugh. I asked you this before we even came on the air, and I said, I know this is going to sound like a daft question, but we just celebrated the 375th anniversary, right, of the founding of Rhode Island. And so when I heard it was the Providence Police's 150th anniversary, I had to ask, well, were you combined with something before, or what's that all about?
Yes, interesting question. As the city began to develop, after the revolutionary days, there became a point in time where people wanted to feel secure in their community, in their neighborhoods. And the city of Providence actually developed watchmen, security people and night watchmen and footmen. And this happened for many years prior to the department being formally organized and chartered. Going back as early as 1851, there were night watchmen and footmen in the city of Providence. But it wasn't until August 12th of 1864 that Mayor Thomas Doyle officially signed into ordinance and charter the Providence Police Department. And from there, we've had a glorious, proud legacy.
As one of the oldest police organizations in the United States, I believe.
It really is. Yeah. There were a lot of Northeast cities that began around that time. A couple of year gaps, but we are one of the oldest police departments in the United States.
Yeah.
And so I think it's fitting that we will be kicking off that lighting with 150 retired policemen and current and active men on patrol, I would say.
That's correct.
So we'll be kicking off with a ring of fire and then an actual parade, which I cannot wait for this, with some mounted policemen, some motorcycle policemen, but led by the fife and drums, which...
The pipe and drum band.
Oh, it's the pipe and drums.
The pipe and drum
band. How come
band.
I always thought it was a fife and drum?
No, the pipe and drum band.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Thanks for correcting me.
Any pipes. Yeah. Pipe and drum,
yeah. Yeah, we love showing off our extra units. So we'll be there as a command staff with the honor guard, the mounted command, the pipe and drum band, and we look forward to that, to really show off the Providence Police Department. We really are a proud legacy. I know a lot of retirees are proud that we're doing this event. And the book has been completed, which you have in front of you, Bonnie.
Yeah, the book is absolutely wonderful, and it's coming out on your anniversary on August 12th.
Yes.
We're going to see if maybe we'll have it available at Waterfire, but I don't want to get too ahead of your publication date. But it is so full of wonderful pictures, and it was researched by Paul Campbell and John Clancy and George Pearson, and it's an amazing book.
The City of Providence archivist, Paul Campbell, he's a great writer. He started this endeavor probably a year ago. He's done a fantastic job. Boston Police and the NYPD have done similar books. He did a tremendous job in this book. And as well, we're going to have exhibits from some of the old uniforms and artifacts and pictures from the Providence Police Department. So there's going to be an exhibit on August 5th, one at the Providence Public Library downtown and one at City Hall. The one at City Hall will commemorate the 17th, 18th, and 19th century history. And the one at the Providence Public Library will be the 20th century history of the Providence Police. August 7th, we're going to have a book signing event with Paul Campbell and people who authored the book and provided insight into the publication. That'll be at Barnes & Noble's. And then August 9th will be this water fire that we are so looking forward to. And there'll be many events that will be further announced prior to that date. And then August 12th will be the book release party at the Public Safety Headquarters.
So and I believe we have a band playing on the stage.
We do. We've got Roger Cerisi and the All-Stars, who we all love, and there'll be some great swing music happening. We also have Tony Serbo.
I mean,
he's fantastic. So we saw him recently, didn't we?
It's fitting.
Perfect for Water Fire. Very Sinatra, Michael Bublé-like. And I think he's going to rock the house. So thank you so much, Colonel Clemens. And we cannot wait for the 150th anniversary. And at the end of the show, I'm going to let you know how you can help and how you can be part of that celebration as well. So thank you for all the good work you do.
And thank you so much for having me on. It's important to the Providence Police. Thank you.
Thank you, Colonel. Delighted to have you.